Well, we're doing a series of three at the moment on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And Matthew started off really helpfully last week thinking about the Holy Spirit, Spirit and truth in conversion. Recognising that we can't even begin to understand what it means to live as children of God without the work of the Holy Spirit. And we saw that now that Jesus is not here, the disciples, when they were wondering what on earth they'd do when he went, were assured that the Holy Spirit would come and live in them and in a way do the work that Jesus had done when they were there, convicting people of the fact that they were rejecting Jesus, and that was sin in a way personified in that action. Convicting people of what righteousness really looks like, convicting people that there is a judgment for sin. That actually rejecting God and rejecting Jesus isn't something we can do without consequence. And we saw in Nicodemus in John 3 that actually it's the Holy Spirit who brings about new life. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless the Holy Spirit births you anew, gives you a new birth. How does he do that? Well, he does it through the word that's preached, through convicting us that Jesus is really God. Seeing our sin, but also seeing in him the one who's able to forgive us. So we've seen the Holy Spirit in conversion, in doing that work of bringing us into the kingdom of God. But if you are a normal Christian, you will know that actually sometimes we wonder if we really have been saved. And that is a normal Christian experience. If you're thinking that's the experience of just the weak Christian and the strong Christian always feels saved and is always confident, well, let me reassure you that across my life and ministry, in my own personal experience and in all the people I've spoken to, almost every Christian that I've spoken to speaks of a time when they lack assurance that God loves them and has forgiven them and that they have an eternal future in him. It is the reality of normal Christian experience that we sometimes doubt whether what we have put our trust in can do the work that God has promised it will. Now, of course, that's going to be a reality, isn't it? We're Christians who live by faith. In other words, we put our trust in something that we can neither see or touch. And if you're like me, I feel a lot more confident if I can see or touch something to know its existence. If somebody tells me that they've got something, whether it's something for a Sunday morning or whatever, I'm a lot happier when it appears on a Sunday morning and I can see it, rather than somebody says, oh, I'll bring that. And the same is true, isn't it, of our Christian experience. If God promises that we're forgiven, and he promises that we have an eternal future with Christ, we struggle sometimes because we're normal human beings for whom most things are done on see and touch, to believe that God can be trusted. Because I haven't got anything that I touch or see that makes me feel okay, that gives me that confidence. I only have the promise of God. So it's entirely reasonable that I should sometimes doubt or question whether I am really saved. Can I be sure that I'm saved? Because it's a way of knowing, isn't it, that is so different to our normal everyday life. I know I've got money in the bank because I check online and it tells me and I can see the numbers on the screen. I know it's raining because I go outside and I feel the raindrops. And I do put the waterproof on. I know lunch is ready because I can feel the heat in the kitchen. I can smell lunch and then I can see it on the table. So much of what we do to know things is based on sight and touch. And yet Christian assurance is based on neither, it's based on faith. And so we want to know, how is it that the Holy Spirit works to assure us of our Christian faith, when that assurance will come because we're Christian believers by faith and not by sight? Now, you'll know in your own Christian experience that it's very tempting to put our confidence in things that we can do. It's why churches over the years have put huge confidence in things that they do and have developed elaborate patterns of doing things because it's comfortable to do things. If I can touch something, if I can do something, well, that makes me feel more sure. But the Bible says that actually my assurance will not come through things I see and touch and do, but through all of God's promises and the work of the Holy Spirit in making those real to me. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to look at it from Romans chapter 8. And I hope there to illustrate three ways in which the Spirit normally works in our lives that we can reasonably expect to find assurance from. Here's the first one. We expect the Spirit to work through the Word of God in assuring us of our standing. Now, we would expect that, wouldn't we? If conversion comes through hearing the Word preached, that the Spirit uses to turn on the light in our heads, our understanding, to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, that's 2 Corinthians 4. We would expect that if conversion comes from the Spirit illuminating who Jesus is, then assurance will come from the Spirit using the Word of God to illuminate the truths of the gospel for us. It's why, after confession, we have an assurance, and invariably we go to a sentence of Scripture to do that. But have a look at Romans 8. If you've got your Bibles open, you'll know that Romans 8 comes directly after Romans 7. Now, you're thinking at this moment, thank you, Philip, we did work that out. All right, but have a look at the end of Romans 7, because the end of Romans 7 is the agony of somebody just feeling, I don't know whether I'm... Well, let me see. Look at the end of Romans 7. Paul describes here a feeling that I guess we would understand. Look what he says. At verse 14 onwards, in fact, I'll read from verse 16. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself that do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I. You see what Paul is illustrating here? He's illustrating the tension of Christian living. He said, how can I be sure that I'm saved if I feel this battle going on in my life? I keep on doing the things I don't want to do. There's a part of me that doesn't want to do them, but I can't stop doing them. What's going on? Well, look what he says at the beginning of chapter 8 to the person who's experiencing that tension in their thinking and in their lives. He says, look, verse 1 of chapter 8, it is one of the great verses in Scripture. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is a great verse. Now he goes on to explain why that is. He goes on to say, well, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death that says you will be condemned for doing the things that you've done wrong is now no longer operating in you because God has saved you in Jesus Christ. And even though you do things wrong now, because of the Spirit at work in you, those things are forgiven and dealt with, and you aren't condemned, but you will find eternal life. But notice what's happening here. It is the word that Paul is using here. It is the word that we use to reassure ourselves of our standing in Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, look over there at the banner that's by the font. All right, there's another verse that's put there. That's Acts 13 and verse 38. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Why is that there? It's there because I trust that the Word of God will be used by the Spirit of God to assure us of our standing in Christ. It's one of those reasons those verses are there. If you wanted to turn with me to 1 Timothy, if you've got your Bible open, why don't you do that? You'll recognise there a verse that we sometimes use. But in 1 Timothy and chapter 1, notice what Paul says in verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And the Bible is constantly telling us, God is speaking to us of his grace and forgiveness and the confidence that we can place in that because of Christ's work. Now, if you remember last week, at the end of the passage in John 16, we're reminded that the Holy Spirit takes that which God has given to us and applies it into our lives. That's one of the works the Holy Spirit does. He takes all that Jesus has done and points back to Jesus in our lives. And what the Holy Spirit does through God's word is assures us through God's word of all that we have in Christ and assures us that we can be forgiven and assures us that we can be confident of our eternal destiny. Now that is one of the primary ways in which God's Spirit works to assure you and me of our standing in Christ. Now, that's why God's word is so important. Because we cannot expect to know the assurance that the Holy Spirit is able to work in us if we are not letting him speak through God's word to assure us of all that we have in Christ. If we just have a sketchy hold of the promises of God, we will have a sketchy hold on assurance. Because the Holy Spirit wonderfully works through the word of God to assure us. It is no doubt, there is no doubt that if we are feeling and that we're concerned or lacking assurance, to go to the scriptures and read those passages that remind us of our standing in Christ allows the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts to assure us of our standing with him. Here's the first way the Spirit works, in a very straightforward way, by using the word of God to assure us of our standing and our forgiveness. And I don't want to neglect that. At one level it seems so simple and obvious, but it seems to be the primary way in my experience when people come to me lacking assurance. That is essentially where I will first of all direct them. And in my experience, it is an effective way of assuring people of their Christian faith. It seems obvious, but it's very effective because it's the way the Spirit works, through the word in assuring us. And we need to take advantage of those gifts that God has given us in his word, by his Spirit, to assure us of our Christian faith. Well, look, here's the second way that God assures us by his Spirit. The Spirit assures us through our actions. Now, you'll notice I've done this in a specific order, and I think it's interesting, actually, that the Bible does it in this order in Romans chapter 8. It, one level, assures us through the word of our standing, but it goes on, as we go through chapter 8, to explain that if we are a Christian, and if we are now somebody who is led by the Spirit rather than led by sin, we are a different sort of person. Have a look at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But, verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of God, he's not belong to Christ. But if Christ in you, your body is dead, your spirit is alive, and the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, we have an obligation, not to the sinful nature. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now, do you see the contrast that's been worked all the way through here? It's saying if somebody's Christian, they have, by definition, the Spirit of God living in them. And the difference that makes is this. Our minds are set on doing what the Spirit desires, and by the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. And you see, well, those two things are really helpful for us in assurance. So what we see is the Spirit is at work in us, if we're a Christian believer, in addressing our mind to want to do what God wants. So hence the challenge of chapter 7. The challenge of chapter 7 is, I just feel I want to do this, but I keep on doing the wrong thing. Well, that's because the mind of the Spirit now wants to do what God wants. And the frustration, of course, is that I'm not yet like Christ. I want to do it, but I'm still sinful, so I still sin. But the fact there is even a tension there is an assurance that God is at work in us by his Spirit. You see, we aren't assured by the Spirit of our standing in Christ by being perfect people doing perfect things. We are more assured by the Spirit of Christ in that we are battling in the spiritual life rather than finding it easy. If the spiritual life is a battle, it is an assurance in a way that the Spirit is at work in us, setting our minds on what Christ desires, not what the world desires. There's going to be a conflict there, isn't there? And not only that, by the Spirit putting to death the misdeeds of the body, we will see that we want to do that which God wants and not do that which is displeasing to him. And so we will see that in our actions, in our thinking and in our actions, there is movement led by the Spirit in our lives. Now, the reality, of course, is sometimes I do things that are sinful. I do sin. And the temptation is to think, oh, crumbs, I've sinned, therefore I can't be saved. But we have to look at things in the big picture here and say, if I look at my life, is it a life where I am seeing the challenge and the battle going on? I want to do what God wants. In my life, am I, by the help of the Spirit, beginning to put to death some of the misdeeds of the body? Now, sometimes I need the testimony of others around me to assure me that that's going on. Sometimes we're not the best judge of the way in which our actions are being changed by the Spirit. It's why midweek groups, it's why meeting up to pray with people is helpful. Because others can tell us, no, you are changing in that way. You are battling that. But this is one of the ways the Spirit assures us. He changes the way we think and what we desire. And he helps us put to death. In other words, our actions change because of his work in us. Now, yes, it's not an absolute guarantee, is it? Because I know sometimes my actions aren't right. But overall, the Spirit assures me by giving me that desire to do what God wants and by helping me to do that which God desires. And when I see that in my life, and I may need the help of others to reassure me it's taking place, I'm assured of my standing in Christ. So here's the first thing, by God's word. Here's the second thing, the Spirit assures me through my actions. And here's the third way in which the Spirit assures me, and it is in my inner being. Now, at one level, this is the assurance we sort of wish we could have, isn't it? I really want that sort of feeling inside that tells me I'm a Christian. And there's a sense in which we can go after this in a way that the Bible doesn't encourage. We can think, unless I have that, I can't possibly be a Christian. Well, this is the last thing the Bible mentions, and even when it mentions it in a way that we often don't quite get right. Read what Romans 8 says. As we go on here, we read this. Verse 15, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." And actually, if you go on just a few verses, if you've got your Bible open, you'll notice beyond the passage that we read, in verse 26, we read this. In the midst of our struggle, which is what verses 18 to 25 describe, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that word cannot express. Now, what you see here is the Spirit at work in our inner being. Now, look at the language very carefully. In verse 16, it says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, what we want that to say is the Spirit of God testifies in my spirit. In other words, I want an experience of the Spirit of God making me feel, I mean, let's just call it for the sake of argument, warm and fuzzy that I'm a Christian. But that's not what it says. It says the Spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm a child of God. So look, what's going on here is this. We cry, Abba, Father. That's the Lord's Prayer. But it's us saying to God, you are my Father. And that is something we do with confidence because we know that by Jesus' death, we have access into his presence and we can address him as Father. And what the Holy Spirit does is testify alongside our spirit to the Father that this is your child's voice that you're hearing. So the Holy Spirit, in a way, is working in us to make that link to the Father. The Father recognizes us as his children because the Holy Spirit is testifying with our spirit to him. But notice the Holy Spirit is at work in our inner being, doing that work of assuring us of who we are in Christ. But it is a work that isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling work. It is a work that we're told about to assure us of God's Spirit at work in us, but not to tell us to expect a feeling of being assured in the sort of way that sometimes we go after it. Now, do you see what's interesting here? Our culture wants to feel things rather than to know things. In fact, it almost says that it knows things by feeling them. All right? I feel that's right, therefore it's right. Not, this is right, I know I don't feel that, but this is right. Okay, and that's why in this order we're assured in Romans 8. We're assured by the word of God that the Holy Spirit applies into our hearts, by our actions that the Holy Spirit, if you want, initiates and enables, and by the inner working of the Spirit. Now, we would love to flip it the other way around, wouldn't we? We'd love to say, God, will you please assure me just by helping me to wake up and just feel wonderful. But actually, the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit encourages me to wake up and remind myself of the truths of God in Scripture about where I stand in Christ. And then he encouraged me to wake up and say, okay, what am I going to do today? Lord, I need your help to put to death the misdeeds of the body. And at the point where that becomes a struggle, I'm reassured that the Holy Spirit is convincing God that even though I may not look like one of his children, I really am one of his children. And I can be sure that that work is going on and that God is not going to make a mistake, even though to me I don't look like one. And that is the order in which the Bible assures us. And we ought to be encouraged about that. Now, where does that leave us? Well, I think it leads us thinking that actually the best way for assurance is to go to God's word and to let the Spirit work through the assurance of what it tells us about who we are in Christ. And we're not good at that. I picked a copy of the Book of Common Prayer off one of the shelves this morning. Some of you may be familiar with it. It says this after the confession in the Book of Common Prayer communion service. And I want to read these words to you because I think it's just a reminder of how they got it right in terms of assurance here. All right, so you say the confession, and then it says, then the priest shall say, hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ says unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's verse from 1 Timothy. Hear also what St. John said. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That's one of the verses from 1 John that we often use at the confession. But you see what Cranmer understood. He understood that if I'm going to be assured, it will be the word of God, used by the Spirit to underline in my heart the confidence of my salvation. It will then be the going on and putting that into practice and letting the Spirit change the way that I think and act. And underlying that all is this reassurance that even when I don't feel like I'm saved, when I feel I look to God as if I'm a hopeless case, the Holy Spirit who dwells in me because I put my trust in Christ will assure God that I really am one of his children and he won't make a mistake. It is greatly encouraging, isn't it? Please don't look for a warm, fuzzy feeling. The Bible doesn't expect one. It tells us that we know because of the Spirit. But it doesn't say it sort of comes over us like a warm, fuzzy feeling. But it does encourage us to go to Scripture to be assured. And to speak to each other those words of assurance that we may encourage other in these things. To tell each other of the change that we see in each other. To pray for each other. And to underline and be confident that God's Spirit will seal us and keep us for that final day. Let's pray, shall we? And then we're going to sing again. Father, we thank you that you're a God who graciously provides for every need that we have. Thank you that your Spirit lives in us if we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he's able to assure us through your word, and we pray that you might help us so to use Scripture in our walk with you, in our walk with one another. The Holy Spirit may assure us of the truths of the gospel day by day. Father, we thank you that your Spirit is at work in us, changing the desires that we have and enabling a different set of actions. We pray that by your Spirit you may help us to put to death the misdeeds of the body and know the assurance of a life that is being changed and shaped by him. And Father, we thank you too. That underlying it all, your Holy Spirit testifies to our Heavenly Father of our new status as your children and heirs, as those who struggle, yes, but who one day will be revealed in glory. We thank and praise you for that in Jesus' name.